Let's be honest, prayer is tough. It's hard enough talking to someone you can see, let alone someone you can't see. And when you're praying, you sometimes think, am I just talking to myself? My words just bouncing off the ceiling. For some of us, though, talking is not the real problem. We actually like talking. What if I phoned you up, made a pastoral phone call, and the conversation went something like this? Hi there, it's Peter calling. How are you? I'm doing really well. Have you had a good week? We are having a really great week. It's been great to see you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. Love to talk to you a bit more. So good to talk to you. See ya. Bye. Oh, what a great conversation that was. We really connected. Well, no, we didn't. I just talked to this person. I was so rude. But that's what we do to God sometimes. Now, we wouldn't dream of talking to somebody like that in real life, so why do we do that with God? If we want to grow in faith, which is what this series is all about, helping us grow in faith, then we've got to think about prayer and figure out a few things. I don't want to make anyone feel guilty about prayer. We all struggle with prayer, apart from some of you who are quite gifted in this area. I just want to encourage the bulk of us, the rest of us, that there are a few things we could do to improve our prayer life. I want to highlight a challenge when it comes to prayer and then give you a few keys to talking to God and at the end, one practical application that you can put into practice this coming week. And I want to thank the team at North Coast Church in California, not only for the suggestions about this sermon, but about this entire series on how to grow in faith, which Associate Minister Mark Simon has overseen. So here's the challenge to do with prayer. Prayer takes persistence. Now, persistence is what marathon runners need. Persistence is what we've all had to show through lockdown. Persistence is that ability to keep on going. Pray continually, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, and he says, keep on praying in Ephesians 6. Now, let's think about this a bit further in relation to the parable of the persistent widow, which we've just heard read. In that parable is this poor woman who's had something done to her. She's got an adversary, someone who's hurt her or robbed her or taken something from her, and she wants justice. And she comes to the judge seeking justice. But he's described in the parable as godless and unjust. So she's not going to get anything from him. But she's not put off. She keeps coming and keeps pleading her cause. Eventually, he gives in and gives her what she wants just to get rid of her. Now, it's a tricky parable to interpret, but the key comes in verse 1, there we're told this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. The point is, we have to persist in prayer, not give up. The Lord will return, as we're told in verse 8 of the parable, and we're to keep praying until he does. The widow is an image, a metaphor, if you like, a symbol of what we're to be like when it comes to prayer, to keep going, keep persisting. And what helps us to be persistent is that we're not praying to somebody who's unjust or harsh. We're praying to our Father in heaven, our Abba, our Dad. We're praying to someone who is on our side, and that helps us to keep coming back and talking to him. Now, why does God want us to persist in praying? The obvious reason is that it just takes time for some things to work themselves out, to be answered in prayer. For example, if you're praying for peace in a troubled country, or you're praying for healing for someone who's ill, or you're praying for a non-Christian friend to become a Christian. That just takes time and we have to persist. Another reason is that persistence in prayer teaches us humility. It reminds us of how many things are not in our control and how much we need God. But I think there's another reason why we have to persist, and this is the one that I want to focus on a little bit today. Persistence in prayer teaches us that we can't just be asking for things. Prayer is more than just asking God for things. We all want God to do things for us. God, please heal my sick mother. God, please get rid of COVID. God, please help me with my job, help me with my studies, etc., etc. We've all got so many things we want God to do or need God to do, and they're all valid things. But I think we have to persist in prayer because prayer is not just about asking for things. Prayer is about getting to know God, getting to know His will, understanding His character. And it takes time to know somebody, someone in our lives. It takes time to get to know somebody else. So why wouldn't it take time to get to know God? Now, let me give you an example of what I mean from my perspective on life. In my role as senior minister of St. Alfred's and St. Luke's, there are so many things I want God to do. For example, every time we're looking for a new staff member, I'm on the phone to God going, God, please help us find a new super fabulous associate minister for St. Alfred's. Or please find us a gifted children's minister for St. Luke's. We have so many needs at church. We need more leaders for growth groups and GFS and stacks and music teams and all sorts of things we need. And God, please bring people back to church after COVID is over. And God, you know all the pastoral things we're dealing with. Please help that family that are in grief. Please heal that person. Please help that person who's looking for work. And on and on and on my list goes. But eventually, I get past my list of things that I'm praying for if I persist. And I wonder, what does God want to do with us as church? Particularly as we come out of COVID, what is God's mind on us? What's on God's heart for us? What is He saying to us? What are your thoughts? For example, I think the fact that we have deepened our relationships with the other churches in Whitehorse through this COVID period, that's something that God's been showing us. It's not something that was on my list. And we have to take time to understand and listen to God and find out what His thoughts are. It takes time and persistence to get to that stage where I'm not just asking God for things, where I can just enjoy getting to know God and being with Him. So there's the challenge with prayer. It takes persistence. The good thing, though, is that we know we're praying to our Heavenly Father, our Dad. So I want to now give us three keys to talking to Dad. Three things that you know, but I just want to remind you, and it may help you if prayer has got a little bit hard for you during these recent times. These three keys might just unlock something that helps you move forward. Now, the first key to talking to Dad is that you have to be on good terms. We all have people, let's be honest, we all have people we're not on good terms with, people that you prefer not to bump into at the supermarket because that conversation is going to be a little bit awkward and you'd rather go down another aisle just to avoid them. We have people like that. You know, things happen in relationships that little things become big things, and before you know it, you haven't talked to somebody for a few years, and those years become 10 years and 20 years and even a lifetime. So sadly, some people die without having cleared up those sorts of relationships. And that can happen with our relationship with God as well. And the thing that erodes our relationship with God and gets in our way and maybe makes us feel a bit guilty and stops us, that's what the Bible calls sin. All those things that are not pleasing to God. At the end of Psalm 66, the writer of the psalm says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So if you just leave all that stuff inside you, God stops listening. Isaiah says something similar to the nation of Israel in Isaiah 59, verse 2. He says to the nation, "Your iniquities, your evil has separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God is not listening to their prayers anymore. Now, the good thing for us is that God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to be sinless. He knows we're human. He knows we sin. And the key to staying on good terms with God in this regard is just to own up and repent and seek God's forgiveness. And the great thing we know from the gospel is that God is always delighted to forgive. Just think of the story of the prodigal son. You know, there's that son who has ruined his relationship with his father and his family. And then he realizes in a moment of humility that he has done all that, and he turns back and seeks his father's forgiveness. Remember the reaction of the father. The father is so delighted that he runs out to meet his son and hugs him and greets him. Well, that's a picture of what God is like whenever we turn back in repentance and to seek his forgiveness. He's always ready to forgive. So if it appears God is not listening to your prayers, just stop asking for things for a while and just check out your relationship with God. If there are things that have got in the road, things that you need to confess, then do that. Come back to God and seek his forgiveness. So the first key to talking to Dad is we've got to be on good terms. The second key to talking to Dad is it can't always be about you. Now, let's be honest. We all like talking about ourselves. It's a wonderful feeling to have someone listen to you, to give you their time, who really understands you. In fact, research at Harvard University has shown that when we talk about ourselves, we get a little burst of activity in the pleasure centers of our brain. We actually like it, and our brain reinforces the fact that we like it. This is also shown in how people use social media. There's been research done on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, and that has shown that 80% of the updates on those sorts of platforms are people sharing news about themselves. They're updating their friends, their networks, about what's going on in their life. They like talking about themselves. So we become used to talking about ourselves and telling people what's going on. And so then it's not surprising that when we come to praying, we focus on ourselves, our needs, and our lives. And much of that is appropriate and necessary. But my simple point is it can't always be about you. Prayer is about two other people, let's say, two other persons. Prayer is about God and about other people. Let's think about God for a moment. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then once you do that, you can then think about all your daily needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Lord's Prayer. Remember how the Lord's Prayer starts? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." Notice how God-centered the beginning of the prayer is. Our Father in heaven, your name, your kingdom, your will. It's important to honor God in our prayers, to acknowledge and praise and worship him. And if you find that difficult, you know, you find it difficult to get words to put that into your language, then use the scriptures. Things like the Psalms are full of ways of praising God and honoring God and keeping God in your prayers. One prayer I've prayed many times during COVID is that God would simply use this time for his glory. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. And I may never know if that prayer is answered. But it's just asking God, God, do what you want to do during this time. Some simple prayers you could pray that keeps God in your prayers and ensures your prayers are not just about you are things like, God, what do you want to say? God, is there anything you'd like me to do today? So keep God in your prayers, and also think about other people occasionally in your prayers. Now, I know you know this, but the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, he always keeps on praying for all the Lord's people, praying for the Lord's people. In Colossians 1, he tells the Colossians, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So prayer is one way we support our Christian brothers and sisters. It's part of being a Christian that we have concern for other Christians and we express that concern in our prayers. That's why it's appropriate that we pray for our church, for other churches, for missionaries, for other Christian organizations, for Christians that we know, for Christians suffering in other parts of the world, etc., etc. We're all part of God's family, and Dad likes to hear about the other kids. And prayer is also about others who are not yet Christians. We pray for the world. We pray for our community. We pray for the big issues that affect everyone. That's, again, why it's appropriate we pray for our leaders, for our nation, for the environment, for the economy, for political issues, natural disasters, refugees, all sorts of things that go on in the world that affect people, whether they're Christian or not. There are so many things that we can keep in our prayers other than our own immediate needs. And I just want to suggest that two big categories are God, keep God in your prayers, and keep others. It's not always about us. The last and the third and last key to talking to Dad is it has to be a two-way street. Remember that so-called pastoral phone call at the beginning of the sermon? Hi, it's Peter calling. How are you? I'm doing really well. Well, what's the relationship crime that I committed there? I just didn't listen, did I? I didn't give the person any time to speak themselves. I was so busy talking that I just didn't stop. Now, it's good to remember that prayer includes listening to God, just taking time to allow God to speak. We believe God is a personal God, so we believe God will speak to us. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2 has a lovely little reminder of this. It says, when you go to the house of God, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Now, I think that's a great encouragement to occasionally just button your lip and listen. All through the Gospels, the disciples are listening to Jesus and learning from him. At the Transfiguration, God speaks and he says, this is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And Jesus says that a mark of a true disciple is somebody who listens to his voice. He's using the image of shepherds and sheep, and he says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Now, in order to listen to God, often what we need to do is to slow down and breathe and stop all the noise that is going on in our brains. We have to somehow calm our minds. This is why it takes persistence. Calm our brains and turn off our devices and just stop and give God some space to speak to us. Remember, God says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11. Learn from me, rest in me, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. So prayer involves listening. It's time to connect with God, not just talk at God. Good friends can sometimes just sit together in silence without talking. There's an ease and a companionship and an understanding. And I think prayer can sometimes be like that. That's all I want to say today on prayer. Books and books have been written on this subject, so I'm just skimming the surface. The main challenge I've given you today is to persist. So I want to finish by giving you a practical way of putting this into action this week. And the practical application is the White Horse Prayer Walk. Sign up and join the White Horse Prayer Walk this week. Don't put this off. Don't say, I'll get to it tomorrow. I want you to do this now. I want you to sign up and register now. You can pause this, but I'm just going to talk you through how to do this because it's very easy. So what I want you to do is go to the website called whitehorsechurchescare.org.au. Then click on the word prayer at the top of the page. Then go down the page and click on the button that says register here. Fill in your details, including your suburb. Remember, it doesn't matter if you don't live in Whitehorse, you can pray wherever you live. Hit submit, and you've done it. That's all it takes. It won't take any more time to register than to do that. Now, during this coming week, between October 10 and 17, just get out and walk and pray. You can go on your own, you can go with your others, you can go with as many people as you want, you can go as often as you want. If you have kids, you can take the kids with you. Everybody can do this. If you're not fit or you've got some health issues, you can pray by walking around the house or by walking around your garden. There are no rules on what to pray or how to pray, but remember the sort of things I've said today about persisting and just getting past asking for things, being on good terms with Dad and listening to God and all of that. Now, if you come back to that webpage where you've registered at whitehorsechurchescare.org, then you'll see there are lots of ideas and resources that you can use. There's a playlist of songs that you can use through Spotify on your phone while you're out walking, if you find that helpful. There are Bible verses that give you language for your prayers and blessings that you can use as you walk past some building like a school or the shops or anything, and you can pray blessing on that place. You might find something in the resources section that helps you. Also, you'll find on that page a map where it shows you where everybody will be praying. Now, I think this is a great idea and should encourage us because we're able to see the geographical spread of the prayer that will be going on in this week. So, White Horse Prayer Walk, October 10, 17. Please register now. Please get out and join your Christian brothers and sisters from all over the city of Whitehorse. I think it'll be such an encouraging week. And the bonus is you'll also get some exercise. Have a great week, and I hope this encourages you to persist in prayer. Amen.